Yeah, so it's always dangerous when somebody or something self-describes itself, you know, because that tells you their hope or aspiration or impression of themselves, but not necessarily, you know, how it's perceived or corresponds to reality. So the Megillas Esther describes itself as, you know, in its own terms, in the ninth parak, as it's being composed and the Yontif of Purim is developing. But of course, it does it so with contradictory descriptions. And we'll have to see how that, you know, plays out in reality, these two competing versions of how the Megillah is described. Because initially, the Megillah is described as Vayichtov Mordechai said, Ram Ha'ego Vayishach Sfarim Al Koha Yehudim, Periktes Pasukhov. So it sounds like it's a safer. But six psukim later, Periktes Pasukhov Vav, the Pasuk says, Al Kain Karu Yomim Ha'ego Purim Al Shem Hapur, Al Kain Al Kol Divrei Ha'igeres Hazois, all the words of this letter. So initially it was a sefer, it was a book. Now it's a letter. And then three psukim after that, it's Vatichtoiv Esther Hamal Kabas Avichai Mordechai Yehudi is called Toikav Lekaim Es Igeres HaPurim Hazois Hashena. So again, it's a letter. So we started off as a sefer, a letter. But then, in Perek Tes Pasuk Lamed, it's Vayishlach Svarim Al Kol Yehudim Al Sheva, you know, Shvav Esrei, Sheva Ve'esu Mamea Medina, Malchus Achashverosh, so all 127 Medinas of Achashverosh, Divrei Shalom V'yemes, words of peace and truth, and now it's Svarim again. And then, the final time that is described in Perek Tes of Megillas Esther, it's Va'umamer Esther Kayem Divrei HaPurim Ho'ega V'nichtav Ba'Sefer. So it starts off as a Sefer, then it's Igeris, again it's an Igeris, and then back to a Sefer, and then once again a Sefer. So what's going on over here? How do you have these competing versions of what the Megillah is supposed to be? Is it a letter? Is it a book? Is there a difference between them? And how can these two, perhaps, definitions coexist? Do they coexist, or are they, you know, in like a kind of tug of war for the identity of Megillas Esther? So the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Megillah that indeed both descriptions are relevant and both have, you know, play into how the Megillah is supposed to be written and how it's supposed to be read. So over here in the third line, the Gemara Megillah, Yud Tesmet Aleph, Amar Bichel, Amar Chama, Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Megillah Nikrei Sefer, and Nikrei Sigeris. Sometimes it's called a book, sometimes it's called a letter. And therefore, when you are tying the urias of the Megillah together, right? You know, of course, the Sefer Torah is made up of pieces of parchment that are then sewn together with stitches. So it has to be sewn together with the same material that's used for a Sefer Torah. You can't use gidei, you can't use chutei pishton, you can't use flax or cotton or cloth or something else to tie the two together. It has to be gidin. It has to be sinews from an animal, just like a Sefer Torah. It has to be sewn together with gidin from a kosher animal. So too, the Megillah Esther has to be sewn together with gidin from a kosher animal. However, then the Gemara goes on to say, because it's nikra sefer, so it's just like a Sefer Torah. So if nikra sefer, shim tover, b'chutei pishtum besula, if you used flax, it's no good. V'nikra sigeres, it's also called a letter, shim hito b'shloi shechutei gidim k'shera. You don't need stitches all the way down the entire seam like you do in a Sefer Torah. Here, it's enough if you have three stitches. You need three stitches, but they should be spread out in thirds. So it's a big machlekes rishonim. How is it supposed to be, you know, how does it play out? Is it one at the top, one at the bottom, one in the middle? That's one opinion rishonim. The other opinion rishonim is that it should be equidistant. So it should be like, you know, a little bit down from the top, then equidistant to the next one, then equidistant to the third one, and then down to the margin at the bottom. And then the Rambam has an entirely different position. So if you look at a Megillas Esther, you won't see just three stitches. That's because it's a big machlekes rishonim had to interpret this, so we put in a few extra. But Meikar Din, it's enough with just three, as long as they are Mishulashim, whatever that means. So it's different than a Sefer Torah. Why is that? Because it's Nikres Igeris. So we have these two definitions, or, you know, identities of the Megillah. One is it's called a Sefer, one is it's called an Igeris, and they seem to coexist. And we'll see that there are different halachas that pertain to the fact or a function of the fact that it's an Igeris, and different halachas that are function to the fact of that it's a Sefer. So for example, the Gemara says over there in Yud Tesmet Aleph, as Machlokes Tanoim, how much of the Megillah do you have to read to be yoytzei the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah? If you've never seen this, it's shocking. What do you mean? Don't you have to hear the whole story? So actually, there's an opinion in the Mishnah. Yes, Rabbi Meir Omer Kula, you have to hear the entire thing. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Me'ish Yehudi. You only have to hear from Ish Yehudi when Mordechai is introduced, right? Just get me to the, you know, the, you know, let's fast forward to the main part of the story when the hero is introduced. No, after Vashi is deposed, they begin to look for a queen to replace her. So then, you know, when Esther is introduced, okay, the heroine of the story, so then maybe we should begin the story a little bit earlier, right? When Esther is introduced, even before Mordechai. So the later two opinions in the Mishnah are, it's enough if you just really get to the crux of the story. And the other opinion is, no, you have to read everything, even, you know, all the way from the beginning, even before Esther and Mordechai are already on the scene. And how do we paskin? We paskin, you have to read the entire thing. So you have to hear the entire Megillah or read the entire Megillah. You have to hear and listen to, you know, you have to hear and or read every single word. So the Ran says, yes, when we say Halacha Divrei Omer Kula, you have to hear every single word. And he proves it based on a Gemara, Maseches Megillah, Yudches Med Aleph, which tells us that if you hear the Mikra Megillah in Lashon HaKodesh, even if you don't understand every word, you are Yotzei. How do you know? Because the Gemara says, Ha'achash Taranim B'nei HaRamachim. We don't even know what that means. It's a dispute. Did they really not know what it means, or did they mean most people don't know what it means? Meaning the Gemara, did someone know what it means? So, okay, but be that as it may, maybe it sounds like even in times of the Gemara, there were at least the majority of the population, maybe everybody, didn't know what Ha'achash Taranim B'nei HaRamachim were, and nonetheless they were Yotzei because they heard it B'Lashon HaKadosh. It says the Gemara, if you hear B'Lashon HaKadosh, you're Yotzei. Says the Ran, you see, you have to hear it. Even if you don't know what it means, and it doesn't impact upon the story, nonetheless, you have to hear every single word. The Riaz, on the, it's in the Shilta Gibarim in the back of the Gemara on the side of the Rif, so he disagrees, and it's quoted by over here by the Bir Halacha Siman Tafer Yisadi Sifya Dawud. The Riaz says, nah, if you miss one word here or there, it doesn't impact the plot, the storyline, yeah, I'd say. Yeah, one word here, there, it doesn't matter. So we passing like the Ran. You should try and hear every single word. The Be'er Halacha would recommend to go back and read it again. If you missed a word, maybe not with a bracha, because of the opinion of the Riaz, maybe with a bracha, maybe we entirely reject the opinion of the Riaz, we're not even concerned with it at all, probably go back and read it again without a bracha. What if you're not sure if you missed the word? This always happens to people, you know, the night of the Megillah. I'm not sure. Did the Balkari say this? Did the Balkari say that? Who knows? People like to get involved in these things. So let's say you're not sure. So the Turei Evan says, that's the Shagasari of Masechtas Megillah, that the reading at night is only Midrabanan. That's not the main reading. The main reading is during the day. The reading at night is to prepare us for the reading during the day. That's the main reading. That's why all the mitzvahs hapurim, they're during the day. The suddah is during the day. The matanas of yoyim is during the day. The mishloach manas, everything is during the day. The main reading of the Megillah is also during the day. Not like most people have the mistaken impression. So therefore, the Megillah Torah Evan says, if you're not sure if you missed a word at night, sofik derabanan lekula, and anyway the Riaz holds, if you miss one word, you're yoytzei. During the day, you might want to go back. Even if you're not sure, you might want to go back and hear it again. What if, you know, I'm there and I listened to it, but I wasn't paying any attention? Something that happens all the time. We just have to mention it because it happens so much. So let's say, you know, you're just not paying attention. So the Gemara says, Maseches Megillah Yitzayin Amud Aleph, Umisnam Neim Yotza. I heard it when I was dozing off, you're Yotze. It's a Mishnah. So Mordechai says, yeah, that's if you read it when you were dozing off. Kurim Isnam Neim. Oh. What if Shoma Misnanim? I heard it as I was dozing off. Lo Yatza. No, that's no good. So that's why the Achrayim say, if I'm thinking about different things as I'm listening to the Megillah, then you're not Yotze. The Magen Avraham says, if you didn't have in mind for what the word means, but you heard it, you're Yotze. That's the Magen Avraham of Yom. Shoma Volkivim V'choteva Yotze. It means if you didn't have a kavana for the Perush Amilis, but you knew you were sitting in shul listening, not that I was off thinking about my stocks, or I was thinking about the, you know, am I going to get a mask or some, you know, it was a Purell because of the coronavirus. If you're out thinking about all the things that are going on, yeah, so then the Magen Avraham, you're in outer space. So then he says, no, then you're not paying attention. That's what the Levushei Srod, one of the commentaries in the Magen Avraham, says. If you're thinking about other things, you're not Yotze. That's like you missed the word. So that's why the Paiskim recommend, it's found in the Chuvis Eretz Tzvi by the Kozhik Lover, who was Rosh Shivi and Shivis Chachma Lublin after Meir Shapiro. So he recommends that you always follow along in a Megillah. That's why you don't really need to follow along in a Megillah. You don't need to follow along in a Chumash for Kriyas HaTorah. But it's recommended because if you doze off, or not if you doze off, you fall asleep. That's for sure no good. But if you you space out, if you're following along in the Megillah, he says, well, then that's you realize you're here in Shul following along in the Megillah, even if your mind might wander. So it's always advantageous, of course, to follow along in the Megillah. So what do you have to do? You have to listen to the entire Megillah. You can't miss a word. The Riaz felt, well, if you miss one word here or there, it's not, perhaps you could still be Yotzei. But you have to hear every word. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, Maseches Megillah over there, Oiz Dalad, Megillah Yitzayin Amud Aleph, Kara Al Peh. Mishnah there. If I read it baal peh, from memory, lo yotza. You have to read it mitoch hatzav. So 1 minute. If I have to hear, I have to hear the entire Megillah. According to the Ran, you can't even miss a word. And you can't read it baal peh. You can't read it by heart. What does that mean? How much of the Megillah has to be there in text? If you have to hear every word, and you can't learn it baal peh, so that means it all must be written there, right? You don't have to put two and two together. You have to hear the whole thing, and from Vahibi Meach Hashverosh to all the way to the end, and you can't miss a word, and you can't learn it baal peh. That must mean the whole Megillah has to be there. If it's not written there, it's a problem. However, the Gemara says, "Meseches Megillah Yirchas Mebeis Tana Rabbanan Hishmed Basoy for Oisias Apsukim Vekaran Hakari Kemeturgam and Matargim Yotza." If it's missing a pasuk here or there, word here or there, the Megillah, yeah, it's fine. Lein Baal Peh, like a person who's translating something. Meaning, if I know the story, I know the pasuk that's missing. A trained Baal Kari will know that. So okay, so not the worst thing. Obviously, lechatchila, it should all be written. And obviously, the chachila, you shouldn't read any of it, baal peh. But if it's missing a pasuk, missing a pasuk here or there, you could be yotze as long as you lay in a baal peh. The riaz might say, even if you miss a word, as long as it doesn't affect the plot of the story, it could be yotze. Obviously, the chachila, right, this should all be written. Obviously, the chachila, you should hear it all mitoch haksav. That's why, even the psukim we say baal peh, right, that everyone says together, Mordechai Ish, Yehudi, Yehavi, Shushan, Abira, the Baal Kari goes back and leans it again from the proper Megillah to make sure that you hear everything mitoch haksav. L'chachil, that's what we do. But b'di'evit, you'll be yotze if you heard of it, part of it baal peh. But how could it be that you'll be yotze part of it baal peh? The Mishnah says, kara al peh. If you lean the baal peh, you're not yotze and you have to hear the whole thing. So the Ran over there in that Gemara, in Yechesim Mebeis, quotes this kasha from the Rashba. Hikshar Rashba, the halcha mashma, the chasum iksosik shera. Here it sounds like if it's missing a few things, you're okay. But how could that be? You have to hear the entire Megillah, and you can't learn a baal peh. So he says the following. He says, no, the entire Megillah has to be there, and you can't learn a baal peh. That's the beginning and the end of the Megillah. The beginning and the end of the Megillah. The entire Megillah has to be there. That's the beginning and the end of the Megillah. And most, the majority in the middle. But if it's missing a pasuk here or there in the middle, as long as you lay in a baal peh, right? I did hear the entire Megillah, according to the Ran, every single word, according to the Riaz, right? Almost every single word. You could be yotze, but part of it can be baal peh, even if it's missing a few words here or there, it's okay, says the Ran. V'tiritz d'ha'ocha b'shetchilas ha'megillah v'soif ha'ksuvah d'be'emtzi chaseira, in the middle, it's missing. It's okay. O'mishumachi kohecha d'omechzer arubak shera, as long as it's not missing the majority, it's okay. De'ena niris k'sefer chaser or k'sefer moa v'sholem. It's okay. It still seems like a whole safer wash. Yeshba to Uyos and Megillah Kevin Janikras Igeris Ain Medakt Kambala Pasla. Since it's a letter, if it's missing a few words here or there, right? Letters are not always complete. You can have a letter that's missing a few words here or there, and it's still a valid letter, right? Like a newspaper or something. It could be missing a word here or there, and it's fine. A book should really be complete. So a Sefer Torah is missing a word here or there. Sefer Torah is possible. But a Megillah is not only a Sefer Torah, right? It doesn't need chute gidim, but it doesn't need stitching the whole way down. So it's like an igeres. It's a little bit like a letter. So what other sense is it like a letter? It's like a letter. If it's missing a few words, it's okay. It's like a letter. That's why the Riaz held also. You miss a word. The Ranel, of course, you have to hear every word. It doesn't all have to be written. You can lay in a pasuk here there about peh, because it's not a Sefer, it's an igeres. So we're not careful necessarily to read it all, mitoch haksav, but you have to hear every word. The Riaz said, you have to hear every word. And even if we don't go as far as the Riaz, the Rambam quotes the same idea from a Talmud Yerushalmi. That's what the Riaz is basing himself upon as well. The Rambam over here, Oizayin, Perik Beis, Vilchus Megillah, Lacha Zayin, quotes him Yerushalmi, that a medakt can be kriyas. So we're not so careful in the way that we read the Megillah. If a person makes a mistake, let's say, in the pronunciation of a word, or certainly in the trup, Hakaris Megillah, Vatar, Bekriyasa, he's not, he makes a mistake, V'kara Kriya Mishubeshta Yotza, he's still Yotze. Of course, this is opposed to Kriyas HaTorah. Well, Kriyas HaTorah. The Rambam is more machmer even than Ashkenazim. The Rambam is a little bit more mako. That you only have to correct the Baal Kari if he makes a mistake that changes the meaning of the word. Now, you have to be sometimes an Ubalamdin to know when does, sometimes the emphasis, if you put the emphasis at the beginning of the word or the end of the word, changes the meaning of the word. So you have to really know a little bit about Hebrew and Diktuk to know when changing the vocalization will change the meaning of the word. But according to the Rambam, that's the standard. According to the Rambam, and this is Shulchan Aruch too, it's a much higher standard. Kara v'ta afilu b'dikduk ois achas. Even if you make a mistake in the way that you lay in it, meaning it doesn't change the meaning at all, the trup is off. We'll make him go back until he reads it correctly. I think Rabbi Shechter quotes that the Rav was once laning, and Reb Chaim was on one side, and Simcha Zelig, the Paisik of Brisk, was on the other side, and they told him, but Rabbi was a young man. I mean, he died, Reb Chaim died when he wasn't that old. But he, and they told him, be very careful how you lane, we're going to correct you even if you make a mistake on the trup. One trup is awful. The Rambam says, Kara b'tar fil b'diktuk ois achas. Chaim was machmer like that. So how come when it comes to the Megillah, we're not so careful? The Rambam says, "Kares Megillah, Tava Kriyasa, Fishayin Medakter Kriyasa." We're not so careful. Why not? So I believe the answer is because Megillah Nikrasi Geras. It's called a letter. We're not so careful in the way a person reads it. The Ron held it could be missing. The Ron quoted over there from the Rajbah, it could be missing a pasuk here or there. The Riyaz had you could even miss a word here or there. Took it so far. Why is all of this the case? Because Ein Medaktik in Bikriyos. We're not so careful the way that you read it because Megillah is Nikrasi Geras. However, right, even though it's called a letter, it's also called a Sefer. Right, you don't need stitching the whole way down, but you do need to use Chute Gidim. So too, the Gemara says over here, Maseches Megillah, Yates Medalef, that when you're writing the Megillah, it has to be with cloth, right? The same animal skins we use for a Sefer Torah, and it has to be used with, it has to be written with Diyoy. You can't take a piece of paper and a ballpoint pen. It has to be the proper utensils, right? The same stuff we use to write a Sefer Torah. Why? Because it's also called a Sefer. So the Ritva over there throws up his hands. He says, what's going on? We find certain things, it's like a Sefer. Other things, it's like an Igeris. When is it, you know, one or the other? How am I supposed to know when it's this, when it's that? So Ritva gives a rule, I believe in the name of the Ramban, he makes a thesis. We'll have to see if it holds up. But his thesis is the following. Over here in the second line of Kedusha, Ritva is test. And that Gemara that you need klaf and dioi. So Ritva says, well, you need klaf and dioi because it's like a Sefer Torah. Well, which halachas are like a Sefer Torah? Which halachas are like an Igeris? So he says, when it comes to matters of how it is written, Kagan Sirta, which we'll get back to, Vidyoi, Asua Kesefer, we made it like a Sefer Torah. Umina Shetrich Haksiva, V'ibu Lishma, you have to create the skins of the cloth, L'shem Kesiva Sefer Torah, L'shem Kesivas Megillah, Shem Dvarim Shebegufa, that has to do with the way that it's written. Ubalav Haki Lochashav Kesefer Cloth, otherwise it can't have the Kedush of a Sefer Torah, or, you know, a Kedush of Sfarim. Avabedavashu Chutz Legufa, meaning when it comes to how it is read, not how it is written, Asua Ki Geras. Then we made it like a letter. And what is his proof? Well, we have other examples of this. For example, the Mishnah says in Masechtas Megillah, you could lay the Megillah sitting down. Now, we don't do this. We always lay the Megillah standing up. Mishum Kavod HaTzibur. And you, Kriyas HaTorah, you certainly cannot do. The Gemara there says, Masechtas Megillah, Chafal from Ralph, you cannot lay the Kriyas HaTorah sitting. It must be standing. Megillah could be sitting. Why can Megillah be sitting? Okay, because when it comes to reading the Megillah, it's an Igeris, it's a letter, so you can read it even while you're sitting down. You'd read a newspaper, you'd read a Havdil, right? You'd read a letter while you're sitting down. You can read the Megillah while you're sitting down. Or, he quotes over here, Rufichach, on the third line of the underline in the Ritva, Nagu l'kreis, b'li pisuk time, b'li hefzik ha-psukim. We're not so careful to stop the psukim in the right place. Yeah, we'll read one, we'll blend one pasuk into the other. And that's why Rav Haigon, and this is the minig everywhere, took the Megillah and unfolded it first before he read it, right? We don't read it like a scroll where, like a Sefer Torah, it's all rolled up and we opened up just to the place where we want to read. We first open the Megillah. It's a whole ganze Geschäft, how you open the Megillah and fold it over, and you have to usually have someone help him because otherwise it starts rolling up on the Baal Korei. Right, you got to have someone help him unfold it, and we don't roll it up as he reads it. It's open like a letter, like you would like a newspaper, right? That's how you open it up. And that, you are supposed to roll it before you make the brach. Sometimes people are in such a haste, right, after Megillah to go break their fast, like, all right, let's just make the brachas and get out of here. You really have to roll up the Megillah properly, otherwise it's a bizarre to the Megillah to make the brachas while it's still open. So you have to roll it up and put it away. But either way, we fold it like a letter. Why do we do that? Rav Haigon, so he says, we open it up like a letter. Why do we open it up like a letter? Again, in order to stress the fact that that when it comes to reading the Megillah, we treat it like a letter. So what were the proofs that he has? We lay in the Megillah, you could, in theory, sitting down. You fold it over like a letter. If you miss, you miss a pasuk here, there, you miss a word according to the Riyaz, okay. The Ron didn't accept that, but the Rambam says, we're not as careful. We're not going to correct the Balkari. If you make a mistake in the trop or in the pronunciation, we're not going to be as careful. So when it comes to the Kriyas Megillah, clearly we treat it a little bit like a letter. When it comes to the way that it's written, you know, it has to have a gidim, and it has to have dyo, and it has to have a klaf. Then we treat it like a Sefer Torah. The problem is that the distinction doesn't really hold up. There are problems. Like, number one, if it's missing a pasuk, what did we say? If the Megillah is missing a pasuk in the way that it's written, it's still kosher, as long as it has the beginning and the end and the majority of the middle. That doesn't fit with the thesis of the Ramban. And right, the stitching, yeah, you need gidim, but the stitching doesn't have to go all the way from the top to the bottom. Even if it only is, you know, three stitches, you're still using. So even when it comes to the way that it's written, not only the way that it's read, he still seems to, you know, we still seem to evoke the fact that it's an igeres. It's not completely like a Sefer Torah. And the Ritva already raises these issues, and he tries to work around them. But even another issue, even within the way, you know, the way that it's written, the Rishonim don't all seem to be on the same page, and as we'll see, but even with regards to how it's created, not just how it's read, we're going to get conflicting views, whether it's like a Sefer Torah or it's like a letter. So for example, look over here, the Rambam says, Perek Beis of Hilchos Megillah, Lo Chatez, we're going to come back to this Rambam later, but the Rambam says, Ein ha'or shel atzarech avdo lishma. You don't have to create it lishma. Now the Ritva already said, you need ibu lishma, you need dyoi, you need the ink that's used for Sefer Torah, you need klaf, you need the skins that are used for Sefer Torah from Megillah too. So too, you need ibu lishma, you have to create the klaf lishma. The Rambam says, no, not like a Sefer Torah. So that goes, Maimon is there, because Rabbeinu Simcha disagreed. He said, no, 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 you have to do a lishma just like a Sefer Torah. So you see, even in the way that it's written, the Rambam already is not ready to be maskim, that it's treated entirely like a Sefer Torah. You don't need ibu lishma. Or another issue the Shulchan Aruch raises, which is, do you need an Atzei Chaim? You know what I'm talking about? Do you need an Atzei Chaim for Megillah? You might have seen a Megillah like that sometimes, where the Megillah comes out of like a holder, right? Like a stick, like an Atzei Chaim that we have for Sefer Torah. No one has two, but they have one, and the Megillah comes out of the one. Do you need an Atzei Chaim for the Megillah? So the Shulchan Aruch says, yes. What about Tagim? Like the little crowns on top of the letters that we have in the Sefer Torah. Do you need those in the Megillah? Two opinions over here in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesham and Shricha Tagim, Yesham and Shein Shricha. He says you do need an Atzei Chaim and two opinions about the Tagim, which is weird. If it's like a Sefer Torah, why not the Tagim? Right? If it's not like a Sefer Torah, why an Atzei Chaim? The Ramah says, Nagul the Taiga, we do put the Tagim, it's like a Sefer Torah, but we don't have Atzei Chaim, so you won't find by Ashkenazim. We have no Atzei Chaim when it comes to a Megillah. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon was machped to have an Atzei Chaim. Oh, okay. So we're going back and forth over here. Yes, Atzei Chaim. No Atzei Chaim, I can say for Torah. Yes, Tagim. No Tagim. We're getting conflicting views. But even over here in the Beis Yosef, it's curious, this doesn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch, this issue. The Beis Yosef, I flip the page, I see it quotes from the Tshuva of the Rajba. What about putting Nekudos in the Megillah Esther? That would make life easier. We don't put Nekudas in a Sefer Torah. Anyone know why? Why don't we put Nekudas? It makes life so much easier. So Radvaz says, it's a fantastic reason. Radvaz writes in the Tshuva that it's because there are many ways of pronouncing each word in the Torah, right? With just the letters, without the vowels, you could pronounce it in, you know, five different ways. So that could lead one to five different interpretations. Of course, one is correct, and that's the way we're going to pronounce it, but we do learn things out sometimes from the other possible pronunciations. Either a kriyuk siv, or even sometimes, you know, in the Torah Shabbat Peh. So we want to have as many, we want to leave our options open, right? To have as many possibilities open to us as possible to interpret psukim. That's why we don't write nekudas in a Sefer Torah. That's why the Chassam Sofer and others were opposed to translating the Gemara. You know, Art Scroll, when it came out, if for some reason it somehow managed to, you know, fly over the controversy. There were those who wanted to translate the Gemara for centuries into other languages. And it was highly controversial, highly controversial. So the Chassam Sofer, in his comments on Parshas B'Shalach, and his Torah Moshe, quotes many of the objections to translating the Gemara. One of them was, you're like, why? What's the problem? So the main concern is people won't do a good job. That's the main concern. The other concern that Chassam Sofer had was that you're limiting, right? When you read a Gemara, you can interpret like Rashi, you can interpret like Tosfos. If you're going to translate it, you got to pick one. Right, so now we all know, well, our scroll usually picks Rashi, and in the footnote they tell you Tosfos. The reason they have such elaborate footnotes is it happens to be a good selling point. But they did that on purpose. to account for the problem of the Chassam Sofer, which is, if you translate a Gemara in one way, you're limiting the number of ways you could translate it. You just limited the, you're just paskin like Rashi in the face of Tosfos. Okay, who gave you the right to do that? You're limiting the possible interpretations of the Gemara. So that's why Arzkel went to great lengths to put the footnote. See, it's funny, even in the original Arzkel, I'm not here, I think Arzkel changed the world, don't get me wrong, but in the original Haskama to Arzkel, there was two Haskamas. They have a load of Haskamas. The reason why they have so many Haskamas is because this was such a controversial thing to do. But the first two Haskamas that are printed on like the Shavlot, the first page over there, are Rabbi Yashiv and Shlomo Zalman. So Rabbi Yashiv writes, people think it's like a glowing Haskama. Rabbi Yashiv says, look, you really shouldn't be doing this, but there are people doing it anyway, badly. So, Eis Lassos Lashem, Eferus Arasech. We have no choice but to do this. When the time comes to act for Hashem, we have to sometimes negate, override a principle in the Torah. We have to override a principle in translating the Gemara. I mean, that's not like a glowing endorsement, right? We have no choice because it's kind of like life or death, so fine. Here's my Haskama. But be that as it may, there were those who were opposed to translating it because you're limiting the number of interpretations, and that's why we don't put Nekudas in a Sefer Torah. What about in Megillas Esther? Says the Rashba, it's okay. Because of Rashba Tshuva, Megillas in Nekuda. He's not encouraging you to do it, but it won't be possible. What if I put the brachas? Some megillas you've seen with the brachas, or some have illustrations. Sometimes it's a big aleph with like a flowers around it in a box. Can you have that? So he says, because of our megillas sheyesh bedaf harishon brachas upiyutim davar pashat shehikshera. Of course, it's kosher. But then the Beis says, of course, in the Mordechai, what are you talking about? You can't start doodling in the Sefer Torah. He says, "B'shem Avi Dei Lichtar Brachas B'Megillah." The Iskus is a Sefer Torah. This is a Sefer Torah. You can't do this. It's not a Chumash over here. Printed Chumash is a Megillah. Says it's a Sefer Torah. So what would the Rashba argue? Probably that it's an Igeris. It's a letter, and you sometimes have one letter is bigger than the other one in a letter. And I could put Piyutim, and I could put a Brachas before it in a letter. The Megillah is somewhat different in that it's considered to be an Igeris. One final issue that hinges upon this is the Shari Tshuva discusses over here. What about touching the Megillah with your bare hands? Now, of course, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Yedad Manal, if most are familiar with this, you don't touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands. It's a bizayon to the Sefer Torah. If you're fixing the Sefer Torah, it's about to fall down, right? Or if someone's doing Hagbah and they're about to rip the Sefer Torah, you can use your bare hands. But always better to use a mitpachas, to use a cloth. What about Megillas Esther? So it says in Shari Tshuva, no one's noyeg like this by Megillas Esther. Now, the truth of the matter is, Taisa says in that Gemara, and Shabbos Yedal Malach, really all Kisvei HaKadosh, Nevi'im and Ksuvim also, you should not touch, if they're written with cloth and yoy, you should not touch it with your bare hands. But Megillas Esther says, the Shari Tshuva, Ein is harm klal milika kamegillah b'gom with pachas, no one's careful not to touch with their bare hands. L'inyin zeh, minin kev, and the nikra, igeres, b'gom with pachas agila, it's called a letter. Come on. Then Shari Tshuva, of course, from the Magen Avraham, says, what are you being mako over here with the Megillas Esther? Shadaita sheyesh lizar b'Megillas shenichtav kedina, if it's written with klaf and yoy, you have to be careful not to touch on the Chassam Sofer. Over there, quotes from his Rebbe, from Rav Nosson Adler, v'ra'isi l'meiri zatzal shebashas kriyos hay nizar liga ba'arum. He wouldn't touch it with his bare hand. Now, if you don't have an Atzei Chaim, that's a little bit hard, right? If you have an Atzei Chaim, you hold the Atzei Chaim. If you have no Atzei Chaim, like the Ramah, you got to wear like gloves or something. I don't know how you negotiate this folding over and all the everything without touching with your bare hands. It'd be very, very, very complicated. So, either way, he was careful. I've never seen anyone be mocked by not to touch me good with their bare hands. But you see, again, this same issue: is it considered to be a Sefer Torah? Is it considered to be an Igeris? We've had issues on all sides of the aisle, right? At least when it comes to its reading. It's treated as Igeres, but even when it comes to the way that it's produced, yes, you need klaf and dior, you need stitching with gidim, but you don't need stitching all the way down. Atzei Chaim and the Tagim were debatable. What about putting a nekudas and brachas and piyutim? What about touching it? And many other issues. What is missing a pasuk here or there? So it's not only in terms of reading it, even in terms of the way that it's created and written, it seems to have conflicting views of it, like a kind of tug of war. Machlekes Harishonim, is this one issue or the other? Is it should it be treated like a Sefer Torah? Should it be treated like an Igeris? What's going on here? And the Megillah itself, right, self describes itself in conflicting terms. So I believe that this goes all the way back to an original controversy that exists with regard to the creation of the Megillah in the first place. The Gemara over here, Masechtas Megillah and Zayin Medalef, quotes Machlekes HaTanoim from a Mishnah Masechtas Yadayim. whether or not Koheles and Shir HaShirim are mitame es hayadayim. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that when they had truma, which was food that was kadosh and tar, which couldn't be eaten betuma, they would store it. Where's a safe place to store it? Now we put it in a Tupperware or something in a high shelf, but they would store it in those days in the Aron. The children weren't playing in the Aron. They would store it in the Aron. The problem is, you put food, right, the kugel and cholent in the Aron, so the mice are going to get there. So the mice would come for the potato kugel, and while they're there, the hachi v'hachi, they would eat from the, they would nibble on the kisvei HaKadosh. And there would be meichik, Hashem. They would erase one of the names of Hashem, which of course you can't do. So in order to protect the kisvei HaKadosh, they said they wanted to discourage people from putting the chuma there. How do you do that? So put up a sign. We would put a laminated sign. Please don't put your chuma in the Aron. They declared a tuma on kisvei HaKadosh. So if you touch your kisvei HaKadosh to get to your potato kugel, your hands are now tame, now you can't touch your chuma. So that will discourage you from putting your chuma there because your hands are tame. If you touch the kisvei HaKadosh, you can't later on touch your chuma. And we'll go to tumas hayadayim for kisvei HaKadosh. What's kisvei HaKadosh? So Shir HaShirim and Koheles was a debate in the Mishnah, Masechta Yadayim. Is it part of kisvei HaKadosh? Metame Yadayim, not part of kisvei HaKadosh. And it's not metame Yadayim. We paskin, of course, that they are both are. Shir HaShirim and Koheles are. The Mishnah concludes Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadoshim, is the holiest. That's where that phrase comes from. It comes from the Mishnah Yadayim. The Shir HaShirim is the Kodesh Kadoshim, describing the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. But it was a debate, Koheles, Shir HaShirim, are they part of Kisvei HaKadosh, are they Metame Sayadayim or not? So it's interesting, it doesn't appear in the Mishnah Yadayim, but in the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, there's a similar machlekes with regards to Megillah Esther. Is it Metame Sayadayim? Is it not Metame Sayadayim? Why do we pick on these three? Of all the Sifrei Tanakh, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that they were those who wanted to be Goynes, to hide away different Svarim in Tanakh because of problems that existed. But that means it was a Kisvei HaKadosh, which they were going to hide away. These, there was a debate, are they part of Kisvei HaKadosh in the first place? Why should these three in particular be part of, you know, where they debated whether they're part of Kisvei HaKadosh? So I believe that the answer is, because these are the only three Svarim in Tanakh where the Shem Havaya does not appear. You don't have the name Yud-Hei-Vav and then another Hei. You don't have it in these three Svarim. In Koheles, you have Elohim. In Shir HaShirim and Esther, there's no mention of Hashem's name at all. So what was the whole fear over here in putting the food in the Aron? Was that the mice are going to come, they're going to nibble at the Truma, then they're going to nibble at the Kisvei HaKadosh and erase one of the names of Hashem. These Svarim don't even have the name of Hashem in the first place. But perhaps because they don't have the name of Hashem in the first place, not only are they excluded from this Gzeir being Matamis Yadayim, maybe they weren't even included in Kisvei HaKadosh at all because they don't have the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu present. To which the Mishnah responds, no, there's a clearly holy text, Kodesh Kadoshim, and therefore it's part of Kisvei HaKadosh. So the Gemara has a similar back and forth with regards to Megillas Esther. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Esther ain't a Matamis Yadayim. There's no Tumas Yadayim for Megillas Esther. So the Gemara interprets it's not just because there's no Shem Havaya there. L'meimra, the Sofer Shmuel, Esther, La, Bekut, Ruach, HaKadosh, Nemra. How could you say it's not part of Kisvei HaKadosh? Wasn't it said, Beruach HaKadosh? V'amar Shmuel, Esther, Beruach HaKadosh, Nemra. So if you look at the Ritva, the Ritva says he was going to exclude it from Kisvei HaKadosh. Perish, since it's not Matami Sadayim, Eni Mechal Kisvei HaKadosh. It's not, and then he says, well, how could it not be part of Kisvei HaKadosh? Wasn't it said Beruach HaKadosh? And the Gemara goes on to explain how we know it was said Beruach HaKadosh, because the Gemara says, Haman is saying things to himself. How did the Megillah know Haman was saying that to himself? Must be it was written Beruach HaKadosh. So the Gemara responds, Nemra likrois v'lo nemra likasev. It was meant to be read, it wasn't meant to be written. So it was Kisvei HaKadosh to be read, not Kisvei HaKadosh to be written. Again, the Gemara is distinguishing here between the way it's read and the way it's written. Here's the opposite, though, right? Until now, the Ritva said we're more careful in the way that we write it and less careful in the way that we read it. Now the Gemara is saying, no, Megillas Esther is really just about reading it, not so much necessarily about writing it and being part of Kisvei HaKadosh. The same distinction, but in a different direction, which is interesting. But of course, the Gemara concludes that Esther is, I hate to give away the right, you know, the end, Esther is part of Kisvei HaKadosh, right? Megillas Esther is one of the Chavdalot Sifrei Tanakh. But what's going on over here? Why is there a debate about Megillas Esther? Is it just because there's no Shem Hashem? Why does the Gemara distinguish between the way that it's read, the way that it's written? So perhaps this goes all the way back to this is why there were conflicting descriptions of Megillas Esther in the Megillah itself. The Malbim says, why is the Megillah describing itself in different terms? Because it was a debate going on between Esther and Mordechai and the other members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah at the time. Esther and Mordechai, it begins, if you remember, we started, the Pasuk in Megillas Esther begins, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf, it's a Sefer. Mordechai said, Chevra, we're adding a book to Sifrei Tanakh, we're adding a Yontif to the Jewish calendar. They said, whoa, slow down. No, no. You had a nice story, Mordechai. We're very happy. You know, we were saved. Calm down. We're not adding a book to Sifrei Tanakh. It was fortuitous. You know, hashkacha. That's fine. It's an Igeris. This is a letter. This is not part of Sifrei Tanakh. So they sent back, no, this is an Igeris. And again, an Igeris. But then, Esther and Mordechai sent back, no, Vayishlach Svarim. They sent back Svarim. They told them, no, this is not an Igeris. This is going to be part of Sifrei Tanakh. What are they going back and forth? Says them in the Malbim. They were arguing with the other members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Should this be an additional book to Sifrei Tanakh or not? Why? What are they arguing about? So Soloveitchik explained what they were arguing about, and what these two phrases perhaps reflect, that Igeres versus a Sefer, is that an Igeres, a letter, is like current events, right? Like a newspaper. You're interpreting it one way, tells a story, tells a narrative. It might be intriguing, palace intrigue that's taking place in Megillas Esther, but, you know, there's a lot of intriguing stories that go on, some of them are conspiracy theories, you know, but sometimes there is intriguing situations with political maneuvering and all this kind of stuff. And there's, fortunes are all of a sudden changed from a moment's notice, and someone could be on the down, and now all of a sudden he's on the up. You know, these things happen. And so they said, okay, look, it was an interesting story, and it's wonderful that this happened, that the Jewish people were saved, but this is not a book that should be added to Sifrei Tanakh. They didn't see over here the Yad Hashem. And Mordechai and Esther were telling them, no, this is not a random sequence of events. We're not even going to begin the Megillah from the time that the hero and the heroine are introduced, right, from, when we begin the Megillah, Ish Mordechai, Ish Yehudi Haibishush Nabi Ish Mordechai Bin Yavishim and Kishi Shemini. We're going to begin from when Esther becomes on the scene after Vashti's deposed. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning that, the entire sequence of events was orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam, the entire thing. That's why it's a Sefer. Meaning this belongs in Sifrei Kodesh, because this is the Yad Hashem, like every other Sefer in Tanakh is the Yad Hashem. Here too. But it's shrouded in an Igeres. It looks like current events. That's why we don't tie the areas together with stitching all the way down. It's loosely tied. Why? Because the events, it's hard to connect the dots sometimes, right? We don't understand, how did this lead to this, lead to that, lead to this? But ultimately, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu, had arranged everything to take place. So later on, in hindsight, they recognized, no, this is the Yad Hashem, this belongs in the Sefer Tanakh. And later on, everyone agreed with them as well. But we preserved both of these phrases to convey this message of the Megillas Esther, which is timeless, which is that in every generation, as we observe current events ourselves, we have to recognize that Bazman Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was arranging things just like he did in the times of Megillas Esther. That's perhaps why the Rambam says of all of the Sifrei Tanakh, the ones that will endure, La'asid Lava, will be the five, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and only Megillas Esther. All the other Sifrei Tanakh will not be necessary anymore. Because they describe events, which will no longer impact. But Megillas Esther is a timeless message. It's an eternal message. Precisely because it is an Igeres, right? It's perceived through the lens of current events, but also we understand it's a Sefer Kodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who's coordinating everything, even though his name isn't found there. It reads like a newspaper. It reads like a gripping novel. But that's exactly the message. It's not the historical significance of this event, per se, but it's what it represents and what it teaches us, in terms of our own experience. And I believe that this is highlighted with one other halakha with regards to the Megillah. The look at the Gemara Maseches Megillah over here to Zayin Mabez. So Amar Rabbi Tan Chum Vamal Amar Rabbi Yosi Melamed Shetzricha Sirtut Kamita Shol Torah. That you require, Megillah requires Sirtut. Sirtut is the lines, the indentations on the cloth, where we write the letters of the Sefer Torah beneath it. We usually in modern times we write above the line, right? We have lines and we write on the line. The Sefer Torah is written below the line, so you have letters that rise up, like the Lamed rises above the line of the Sirtut, but they use the line as the top to make sure that they were writing straight. So you have Sirtut in the Megillah. Megillah requires Sirtut Kamita Shel Torah. I'm sorry, I didn't give you that. It's based on the pasuk Shekasev B'Sefer Divrei Shalom V'Emes. So it's written in the book, right? The Megillah is described as Divrei Shalom V'Emes, right over there in Paratess. So Shalom V'Emes, peace and truth. So Megillah also is described as truth. It requires Sirtut, Ka'amita Shel Torah, like the truth of Torah. Okay. Like what? If I were to ask you, what does the truth of Torah mean? What would you say? Probably like a Sefer Torah. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi says the Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. Here too, it required Sirtut. Tosfos in Masechtas Menachos disagrees. He says, no, that's not what I mean. Sefer Torah does not require Sirtut. Not we have Sirtut in our Sefer Torah. Tosfos says, no, a Sefer Torah does not require Sirtut. And he's a proof, because the Gemara says, if you have a worn out Masechtas Menachos, if you have a worn out Sefer Torah, you can't then use it to make mezuzahs. Why can't I just carve out the parsha of the mezuzah and use that as a mezuzah? It's a good use for a worn out Sefer Torah. The Gemara says you can't do that. Sefer Torah won't have Sirtut. The Megillah requires Sirtut. Megillah requires the lines, the indentations on the cloth. The tefillin don't. That's what the Gemara says there in Masechtas Menachos. Tefillin don't have that halacha l'maaseh miseinai of Sirtut. Mezuzah does, and the Gemara never discusses Sefer Torah. So Rashi says, well, of course Sefer Torah does. It's a mezuzah plus. And Tosfos says, no. Only mezuzah requires Sirtut. Why mezuzah only? Because mezuzah is kabbalas o ma'apu shamayim. Mezuzah is like the highlights, right? Of the, you know, this is what we're putting on every doorpost. It's almost even, you know, ka'amito shotar. This is the truth. This is the, you know, this is the slogan, the motto. This has to be highlighted or underlined or emphasized. Here it's overlined, but like emphasized, right? With Sirtut. So too, says Tosfos, that's what the Gemara means. Kamita Shel Torah means, just like a Megillah, even more than a Sefer Torah, is a slogan, is a motto, is Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim, means Sirtut. So too, the Megillah's Esther is like a mezuzah, requires Sirtut even more than a Sefer Torah. Wow. So mezuzah's like, that's like the main, Megillah's Esther is like a mezuzah. This is like our slogan, our motto. Like this is almost more important, you know, than I don't want to say more important, Chas V'Shalom, but it's critical. It's underlined, where even Sefer Torah is not underlined or overlined, in order to emphasize how important this is, meaning the message of the Megillah is so important. But it really becomes nuanced if you look in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, back, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, in Hilchos Megillah, says the Rambam, we'll look back at Ois Yud. Here, it's striking his formulation. He says, "En kois v'netza Megillah, elo b'diyoy, agvil, o klaf, you need the ink of a Sefer Torah, you need the skins of a Sefer Torah in order, you know, to be the cloth that you're going to write on the parchment. Kiss Sefer Torah." So the Megillah says, the Rambam says, you need cloth and yoy, kiss Sefer Torah. But then he says, "Utzircha sirtut k'tayra atzma." It requires sirtut like Torah itself. Well, isn't that the same as kiss Sefer Torah? Why did the Rambam phrase it differently? It requires yoy and cloth, kiss Sefer Torah. And requires sirtut k'tayra atzma, like the Torah itself. Strange. So the Brisker Rav says that even the Rambam agrees with Rashi, Sefer Torah requires Sirtut, that's how we paskim, we have Sirtut in our Sifrei Torah. But here the Rambam is telling us Sirtut is not a function of writing Sifrei Torah. Sirtut is a function of Amita Shel Torah. It teaches us that what's written in the Sefer Torah is correct, is emes, is straight. That's why the line is straight. So it's Amita Shel Torah, like the truth of Torah. So we've discussed halachas that relate to how it's written. We've discussed halachas to how it relates to how it's read. Here, says the Brisker Rav, Sirtut is unique, underlining or overlining in the Sefer Torah. What that teaches us is that relates to the content of what's written, that this is eternal, this is straight, this is MS. So just like a Sefer Torah requires Sirtut ka'amita shel Torah to endorse its content, that's true, a Megillah also requires Sirtut to endorse its content to the reader, understand that what you're reading is true. So tefillin doesn't require Sirtut. Why not? Says the Rambam, because no one opens up and reads a tefillin. Tefillin is meant to be wrapped up and kept inside the tefillin. No one's going to read it. It doesn't require an endorsement. But the mezuzah, I say for Torah, Megillah requires an endorsement that the content is eternal, that the content is true. So that's why the Brisker Rav quotes the Talmud Yushalmi, which says, just like you can darshan out of psukim in the Chumash, we can darshan out of psukim in a Megillah, almost more than a Neviim Uksuvim. Meaning Megillah is not less than a Neviim Uksuvim, or like it was debated in the Gemara, right, should it be part of Kisvei HaKodesh, it's actually above Neviim Uksuvim. It requires Sirtut, Kit Amita Shel Torah. It's like the emes of Torah. What's so emistic about it? What's so true about the Megillas Esther? So where is it derived from? It's derived from two words, Divrei Shalom ve'emes, words of truth and words of peace. So you might be familiar with, there's a Medrash in Parshas Bereishis. The Medrash says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, so Shalom said the Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't create the world. People are always people are always fighting. Emes also said, don't create the world, because people are always telling lies. Mishpat said, create the world, people do justice. And Chesed said, create the world, people do Chesed. But Emes and Shalom were in agreement. Don't create the world. Don't create the world. People always make machlekes, and people never tell the truth. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took Emes, v'hishlech Emes Arza. It said, Emes mea aretz titzmach. So Reb Chaim explains what happened in the Medrash was, Shalom and Emes said, we can't both coexist. You can't be honest with people, right, and tell you exactly what I think of you, how you look, how you act, my entire assessment of you, right, to shoot from the hip. People who do that will not be popular. You can't be dancing at a chasana, and instead of saying kala nova chasuda, you say kala kamayishahi. You say, well, you know, yeah, we don't do that. We always say kala nova chasuda. We always have to adjust the truth. Mishanim abdei shalom. It's a mitzvah to lie when someone's feelings are at stake. We have to lie. We can't be truthful in this world. You can't. The two can't exist. Shalom and emes cannot exist. Shalom is how we function. That's diplomacy. Emes is the ultimate truth of what's taking place. That we don't have both in this world. We have shalom. We have diplomacy. Esther is making our chashveirish good. She's manipulating him. But we don't have the ultimate truth of what's taking place. The Megillah, though, has both. Megillah is different. Shalom, you see how through the world, real world events of how negotiating different things and making peace with people and diplomacy and everything, we have current events, but we also have MS. We see hidden beneath, right between the lines, not above the line or below the line, but between the lines, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running the story. And that requires Sirtut. That's Amita Shel Torah, meaning that's not only, you know, the current events. We see from here that in everything that takes place within us, you know, within our world, there's an MS underlying it. Even though we don't see it, we're busy with Shalom. We're busy making people feel good and lying to keep the peace. But Shalom reigns in this world. But ultimately, the Megillah is what teaches us, Kamita Shel Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running events behind everything. So, of course, it's a lesson for all of us, which is why the Megillah is so critical, is perhaps, you know, elevated status is because it teaches us in interpreting our own, you know, current events, but certainly current events on the larger global scale, which are certainly, you know, receives even more attention from the Ribbono Shel Olam, directly controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should keep in mind that, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind the scenes, of course, pulling the strings. But Yom Mahim, but Zman Hazeh, just like in those times and our times as well. Okay, Chaver.